I am delighted to welcome to the programme, and it's my first time speaking with Sinn Féin councillor Daniel Caitin. Daniel, good afternoon and welcome to the programme, first of all.
Good afternoon and thanks for having me.
You're more than welcome. Now, we are going to discuss something, and it's a funny thing, you know. I started off this morning's programme just after 11 o'clock by speaking to the communications officer with the Dublin Simon community, Caoimhe O'Connell, about the recent report, the entire homeless situation, the 2020 homeless report, and the entire situation regarding people on our streets at Christmas. And of course, Simon community, along with other bodies, would be making the point that there should be nobody on our streets at Christmas, and that the way out of this was into secure homes for people. And I am finishing the programme by talking to you because you are calling on Dublin City Council to act against discrimination faced by tenants who are actually in housing. So I suppose, first of all, Daniel, who is being discriminated against and what form is the discrimination taking?
Yeah, of course. So the situation now today, it's complex in Rathgar, where there's a block of social tenants. There are 19 units of social housing, and as part of the service agreement, they don't have access to a lot of the facilities on the complex because, well, I suppose it's a very pricey development, and part of the reason for having social housing in these developments is social inclusion. So the fees that are being paid on behalf of Dublin City Council are reduced, which means they don't have access to these facilities, but the real problem here is that they're not even allowed to pay the difference. So they're being told they can't have pets, even though many of the other residents have pets. One in particular had to give up her dog, it was the dog of her son who had passed away young, and it helped her get through that, but she had to give up the dog to take up this tenancy. They don't have access to the gym, and they're not even allowed to pay to access to the gym. So it's systematic discrimination against social housing tenants, as if they don't pay rent, as if they aren't taxpayers. One in particular, who I was speaking to, he was covered in the Irish Times. He's a barber. He employs two other people. The whole narrative is portraying social housing tenants as over-entitled people who want free things from the state, and that is just absolutely not how social housing works. These are people who pay their rents, they pay their taxes, and they contribute to the local economy, and we won't let them buy gym membership where they live, and I think that's just disgraceful.
But is it not my understanding, Daniel, and I must be way off beam with this, that the housing minister last week said that this was totally unacceptable and should cease immediately?
Yeah, and that was a very welcome intervention from the minister. It's a good change of tone from the government. It's been government policy, Fine Gael policy, supported by Fianna Fáil the last number of years that has led to this sort of situation. So it's good to see that Fianna Fáil are taking our attitudes on board and changing their policy on that basis. So this is something that the minister himself has said this is wrong. So I've been speaking with the housing manager in Dublin City Council trying to resolve this. The main issue really is that they're not allowed to pay the difference.
But whoa. Daniel, sorry now for cutting across you, right?
No worries.
My sincere apologies. Darragh O'Brien, the Minister for Housing, has said this is not acceptable, this must stop. Now, to me, as an ordinary person, that's an end of it. There should be no need for you to go representing these people, talking to anybody. It should be done, dusted from last week.
I wish it was that simple, I suppose. The problem here is there's a service agreement between the City Council and approved housing bodies. That's between the council and the approved housing bodies, and it's not actually the remit of the minister himself. So the minister can say what he wants here, and it's great that he's on the right side of this, but ultimately it's for the city council to resolve. So it's a matter for councillors, and that's why I put in a motion to the South East Area Committee and to Dublin City Council more generally, that the councillors need to come on board, take the same idea as the minister, and ensure that this discrimination does not continue, because it is up to us to stop it, and we can't rely on the minister because he's not the one with the power here. It's one of the few areas where the city council has the authority and not the central government, so we need to act responsibly with that.
And are we straying or have we strayed into the area here, Daniel? And I appreciate you're under pressure for time, and I really appreciate you talking to us this afternoon.
Not a bother.
Are we straying into the legal area here by virtue of the fact that there is contracts or tenancy agreements in place? And if we are, is there that much of a difference between one set of agreements and the other as to make this cast in stone, this is the way it is, and the minister and the Taoiseach and the president and anyone can say what they like, sorry, this is a legal and binding contract, tough luck?
No, fortunately not. I don't think there is any serious legal problem or barrier here, because these apartments are owned by Dublin City Council. They're managed on behalf of the City Council by an approved housing body. So there's an agreement with the approved housing body on how that service is provided, but ultimately it is owned by the City Council, and they are social housing tenants of the City Council. So it's a situation where the City Council needs to sit down with the service company and with the management company of the complex and say, okay, well, what do we need to do to ensure that these tenants can pay the difference? Because that's all they're asking for. They're not asking for this for free. Nobody's asking for it for free. They want to be able to pay the difference. They want to be able to pay their gym membership. They want to be able to pay whatever the fees are for them to have their pets. And that's all they're asking for, the right to have equality with the other tenants and the other people in the complex. So there isn't a legal barrier, because the City Council owns these apartments. They're the ones who set the terms of the tenancy. So ultimately, it is something that the City Council can resolve.
And I suppose then, arising from that very concise answer, Daniel, how willing are Dublin City Council to play ball?
I think this is a situation that maybe they might not have been aware of the extent of it. I know the council has previously said that they don't regard this to be a welfare issue, but I think when social inclusion projects, which is what the Part 5 obligation, where the City Council has a number of social housing units and private developments, it's supposed to achieve social inclusion, and where it's not achieving social inclusion, the policy has failed. So it's the onus really is on the City Council to ensure that, insofar as possible, the policy doesn't fail. I think Part 5 in general, and Eoin O'Brien has been, he speaks on this very well, it has failed as a policy nationally, and it has not achieved social and affordable housing for people. But where we are so directly failing tenants in an area that we can resolve, it's just really a disgrace. And I don't think there is an unwillingness. I think the City Council wants to do the right thing, and I think the City Council can do the right thing. So it's a matter of sitting down, having that discussion, and making sure that we come to the right answer.
Yeah, I fully agree with you, Daniel. It's just, you know, I'm gobsmacked and I'm at a loss, and I'm kind of stuck for words, and people who know me know that doesn't happen too often, as to why this hasn't happened, as a matter of course, immediately. And I mean, when it was brought to their attention, you would have thought that they would have rectified the matter immediately.
Yeah,
again,
not even.
I suppose maybe I'm thinking about this maybe from a different point of view, Daniel, but, you know, I mean, their ultimate boss, whether they like it or not, is actually the minister, so you would be thinking that you'd be trying to keep the bad eye off yourself.
I know. I think one of the major concerns is the fees for this particular complex are very high. So I think the City Council knows it can't have a situation where it's paying extremely high fees for some social housing tenants and giving them benefits that other tenants don't have. So it's a delicate balancing act from that perspective. But what's important to remember is it's not that anyone's asking the council to pay the difference here. It's that the tenants want the right to do that themselves. So I think from that perspective, there shouldn't be any pushback, because nobody's asking for these tenants to have more rights than other social housing tenants. We're just asking that they can have the right to buy the gym membership, to buy access to the services on the complex. So the hesitancy up to now is probably from a cost perspective, and council obviously has a very limited budget, but this isn't anyone asking the council to pay for it, so it shouldn't be a problem.
Yeah, I would imagine, Daniel, that the way it's going to pan out is that for argument's sake, okay, well, pets are a different thing. I mean, that's just across the board if people are allowed to have pets. But if there are other amenities there which incur a cost, well, no more than somebody in a that has bought one of these apartments, well, if you're not going to use the amenity, you don't pay for it. And if you want to use it, you pay for it. I would think that that's simple enough, is it?
I think that should be the situation. And I think it's a shame that that wasn't the situation from the outset, because as of yet, I haven't, no information has been brought to my attention as to why that couldn't be the situation.
Yeah, it's a conundrum, that's for sure. It makes very little sense to me. I mean, I'm delighted to talk to you, Daniel, and you're always very welcome to come here, to come on here on Northside Today and at Near FM, but I struggle to see why we're talking. I know, obviously, why we're talking, but I mean, I think this is a matter that could have been resolved with absolutely no publicity surrounding it, instead of the absolute snowstorm of publicity, and as I said, drawing the attention of the minister on the issue. Should never have got to that.
Yeah. No, we should never have gotten to this point, and that's why I'm also asking the council officials to give us further information on other places across the city where social housing tenants face this situation, because it shouldn't have been happening up to now, but now that the spotlight's on it, the minister has come out very strongly on it, so the action needs to be taken now. And this has to be stopped now.
Daniel, can I thank you for joining me today to discuss this issue with me? But before we part company, can I ask you to keep us in the loop in relation to developments? Because I would be most interested to see this issue resolved sooner rather than later. And again, can I thank you so much for joining me today on the Tuesday edition of Northside Today. Sinn Féin councillor Daniel Keaton, I think, did I pronounce it right?
Keaton,
yes.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Daniel,
I will,
lovely to talk to you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Slán, Conor. It is a strange one, I have to say. I mean, as was pointed out by the councillor, nobody is looking for something for nothing here. The taxpayer is not going to be on the hook for one red cent. The people in this apartment complex are only too willing to put their hand in their pocket and pay for the facilities that are there and to be allowed live the very same as the other people in the complex. And I mean, I would have thought, again, that's me thinking, but I would have thought that it wouldn't have taken the intervention of the minister to point out the obvious. Anyway, such is life.